Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and this moment and our place in what we call history, that we can come before your throne and worship you and give you the praise and honor and glory for all that you do for our lives. Father, we're grateful for the men of God that stand up and preach and teach the Word of God. We praise you for the wisdom from on high. We appreciate the understanding when we do our own deal and the patience to allow us to grow. Father, we're grateful for all those things, but you heard the request as we went to the people and the audience and the things that were on their mind. And I'm sure there are unspoken requests of everybody here that they might not want to shout out. And you know our hearts, you know our thoughts. We're just grateful for that, and we're grateful that we can actually come before you and burden you with our thoughts and our problems and our situation, knowing that all we really want is your will in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I appreciate everybody being patient. I'm excited about being here this evening or this morning, and evening, morning, I can't tell what it is. I've been traveling for a week. It all looks the same to me. I haven't slept for like a week. I love the people that I stay with. They are very, very kind to me and take very good care of me. But I sleep on one bed that's hard and then one that's soft. And I finally got in my own bed last night and felt pretty comfy and woke up with a backache. So it's like, I need to get a consistency. I must have needed the hard mattress last night that I had at the beginning of the week to even it out or something. But and I appreciate Carlton. He came in and said, I really appreciate that television broadcast. I just can't understand why we're not pulling. I don't either. I tell you, people need the truth. Amen. And they need it in their worst way. I tell you, they're struggling with their faith. And it has really been a disruptive thing in their lives. And I'm going to try to deal with those issues because I want to get back down to the men who preach while I'm gone. And I appreciate all the men preaching and standing in. George, we appreciate you standing in. And Terry and Stan and Mac, you know, and William, you'll probably preach the 31st, so I'd be prepared. Your aunt wants to hear you preach. I said, well, you don't really want to hear William preach. So, I am very proud of the men of this church that they would be willing to stand up and preach the Word of God. It's an awesome responsibility. And I realize that you have to put up with me. And when you go to these Bible conferences, you hear good preachers, you come back going, oh, we got to listen to him. Just like Wayne said, you know, we don't want to hear Barry preach anymore. But I love preaching, and I love this Bible and all the things it did for me. And that's kind of what I'm talking to you about. Just for the ones that weren't here at the first service, we were talking about truth shall make you free. And truth is, you better get your hands on there. Truth is the key that goes into the and unlocks your mind from all the garbage that is there. Egos, bias, religion, law, legalism, all those things are trapped until the key of truth enters into that lock and it's turned. And when that happens, all of a sudden, you're not in bondage anymore. You're not in that position. In fact, I want you to think about the releasing of Paul. And I want to deal with baptism just a little bit. I'm not going to preach on baptism. But I want to deal with it in the sense of truth and how it works. Go to 1 Timothy. It's right there, probably on the same page. And go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Read with me. Well, I'm going to come up to verse 9, if you don't mind. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Now, think about the truth that is captured in that one part of a sentence. Knowing this, and this is something you ought to know. This is a truth you ought to have established. This is something you ought to have down. You ought to have this in a knowing file that you can say, I know this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. The law was never intended to make you righteous. It was there and entered in, according to Romans chapter 5, to show men their sinful ways, to show the men that they are sinners and that there are none good, no, not one. That was the intent of the law. But how many times have we been taught in churches, that after we get to this point of salvation, I'm watching you, brother, that once you get saved, then after you get saved, you keep the law. How many heard that? Everybody in here at one time has heard that. But the truth of this one passage is, knowing that a man, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Why? The righteous man isn't made righteous by his action or his doing. A righteous man is made the righteousness of God by God. God has made His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. The truth is that we've been imputed righteousness. And that once you're righteous, do you need the law to make you any more righteous? If you have the righteousness of God, and see, that's the problem. I don't know a single church this morning that would teach a person and say, well, after you're saved, you really do need to work on keeping those Ten Commandments. Don't you know that's being taught today? And see, what they need is the key of truth to let them understand that the law was never intended to make a man righteous, but to show that a man is sorry and no good and low down and rotten, and everything that could be spoken about him would be true. But after that you were made the righteousness of God, how much more righteous can you give than the righteousness of a holy and righteous God? Look at my lips. None. And you know, that's why it says in Colossians chapter 2, you are complete in Him. You know why? Because you're made righteous as God. The law is not made for a righteous man. Yet, how many churches we know this morning that are teaching righteous men that they have to keep the commandments now since they've got the Spirit of God? Well, if that was the case, then Christ died in vain, according to Galatians chapter 2. See, truth and the preaching of the Word of God is to unlock that thought. How many here thought at one time that the commandments had something to do with your salvation? Almost everybody in here. Until you heard the truth of it and it unlocked that door, that no longer am I being made righteous by the things I do, but by the One who loved me and gave Himself for me. Gosh, hallelujah, amen?
Amen.
And he goes on to say, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. That's who the law was made for, to show them that they're not any good, that they mean something other than themselves, because they're whoremongers and they're murderers and they're cheaters and they're liars. How many in here is a liar? How many here is an adulterer? You guys are rotten. I mean, no wonder we can't grow this church. People scared to death to come in here. All these liars and adulterers. But that's what's filled in the room until the righteousness of God enters in, and no longer are you those things. You are a child of the holy and righteous God. And you're not the child, but you're a child. And you know what? You're accepted in the household of God by faith. Man, that's wonderful stuff. You can go and preach that kind of stuff. Now, that's not the truth I'm trying to get to. Now, these are just rabbit trails. Now, I can tell you the rabbit trails are all leading to the same thing. And if you feel like I've covered a good little rabbit trail, put an extra $2 into the pot as you leave. Just say, you know, that was for the rabbit trails. I'm not kidding. For the whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel, boy, isn't that great,
amen,
of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a what?
Blasphemer.
Now, the truth about blasphemer, in Matthew chapter 12, look over there, it's not forgiven in this world or in that one to come. Well, and then that was a truth at one time. But a greater truth, where did I tell you? I don't know why I was in Zechariah. Matthew chapter 12, and look, if you will, in verse 31. Matthew 12, verse 31. Now, this is what Jesus said. Anybody have a red letter edition? All right, this kind of... Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. What did he say? Well, now that's an absolute truth, isn't it? Over here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you blaspheme, guess what? You're not forgiven. It doesn't... What was that?
Our daughter. 11:30. Out, we'll say.
See, and they're there. Did she leave money?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
We'll cover it, though.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fine. You guys are going to want a bag of those apples now. And some of you guys are going to want two bags. Because you know why? You're going to eat one bag and you're not going to want to share it. And then you're going to take another bag to work and share it. And they're going to go, I want those apples. Isn't that true? What happened to your other daughter?
Her she got wanted more. And her boss loves it too.
And so she's getting a bag for the boss too. That's how you get a promotion. You wondered how to work in glory? Grab another bag. Trust me, your boss will love you from then on out. No, I'm just kidding. All right, now blaspheme, it said, now that's true, isn't it? Until you get to grace. Grace trumped the truth of that. There was a trump truth. I mean, if Paul was under the action of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if he was under the action of doing something for his salvation, he could not be forgiven because of Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. There would have been no way. But see, even with Paul, who was under the law, blameless, he said, by the law, Philippians chapter 3, knew that he wasn't blameless. He was a blasphemer. He was consenting on to Stephen's death as Stephen spoke by the Holy Ghost, blasphemed the Holy Ghost, and yet God forgave Paul. The G factor. Y'all understand? Grace entered into the picture, and grace trumps it. Look at it again. Verse 32, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, now watch, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Buddy, that's pretty well defined, wasn't it? Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. The truth is Paul was forgiven blasphemer. I'm telling you, he was a blasphemer, and he had been forgiven of blaspheming, and that proved that grace is something unique and special. Look in verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious. I mean, do you realize, guys, I mean, most of y'all probably don't even are unaware of this. In the law, there was no way that you could be forgiven for murder. Or what? Adultery. That's why those guys dragged that woman out while she was caught in the very act of adultery and brought her out and tried to judge her and stone her. You know why? There was no forgiveness. It takes the G factor. And let me tell you about the G factor just a little bit, because you know what? The G factor isn't just a dispensation. God has always been gracious. Man, in 1 Samuel 17, where David, Nathan came up to David and said, hey, I want to ask you a question. This one man had a wee little lamb. And the guy who had a lot of lambs came and took this man's one wee little lamb. And now the man didn't have any lamb. What should we do with that man? And David said, that man shall surely be put to death. And you know what Nathan said? Thou art the man. Now hold on just a second. If it hadn't have been for the G factor, David would have been stoned. If all that God had, even in the Old Testament, was legalism and stuff, David would never have made it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? David would have been in very, very deep trouble. So grace, even though we have dispensations of grace, God is always used. Look in Romans chapter 4 about David. Romans chapter 4. Turn to Romans chapter 4. You know, listen, God has always been gracious. It is an attribute of God. Listen, there wouldn't have been any man that had made it had not God been gracious. You all understand? Verse 6. You all there in Romans chapter 4? Look, if you will, in verse 6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without what? See, God imputed it on David. I mean, David was an example of the grace of God. I mean, God let David live. Hallelujah, amen. I mean, it's an example of the grace of God. You know, there isn't anything so steadfast. How do you explain that in preaching? Other than God has always been gracious. Amen. He said, even as David also described the blessedness of a man, of the man, unto whom God imputed righteousness. Man, you know who else he imputed righteousness to? David. Who else? Abraham. Who else? Me. See, you know, without God imputing righteousness, a man cannot be righteous. Why? There's none righteous. No, not one. That's the truth. There's none righteous. So if a man is going to gain righteousness in any fabrication or any way or any means, it is going to be by imputation. It is going to be by God giving him righteousness. He doesn't deserve it. Did David deserve righteousness? What did David deserve? Death. He scored that guy right. Thou art the man. You know what? Thou art the man. And you ought to be able to go, blessed is the man to whom the Lord is not imputed. I praise God he's not imputing my sins to me. You know why I look in the mirror and I shave and I thank God every day the fact that God is gracious. Amen? I mean, I'm shaving my face and I'm thanking God for his grace. People go, hey, I don't get this grace thing. What, do you think you're living it? You think you're finally figured out the law and you're keeping it? Are you kidding me? Do you really look in the mirror and say, oh, I'm glad I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. Give alms of all that I have. Like the guy in Luke 16. Or you guys like the guy there that won't even look up into heaven. And he says, Lord, be merciful unto me, for I'm a sinner. And the Bible said that man walked away justified. You know what? The law never saved a single human being. God used different fabrications from the very get-go to bring people to an understanding of salvation in whatever dispensation they lived in. But you know what? The salvation was always of the Lord. Always of the Lord. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Look at this. Verse 6 again. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputed righteousness without the law, without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Now, how did David know that? Hey, listen, all the sacrifices that you were seeing was all a foreshadowing of that which was to come. And as John yells out, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. There stood the one that can make a man righteous by imputation. Wow, how powerful the grace message is. How truth, how releasing it is. It isn't you anymore. You know what I thought Christianity at one time was? Something about me. Amen? But now I testify to the top of my lungs and with all joy that I can. It's Him, guys. It's Him that loved us. It's Him that is imputed. It is His joy. It is His grace. It is His... It's Him! May the praise be given to Him. And you know what? When those days come, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ and He lays a crown of righteousness on your head and a crown of obedience and a crown, that you'll be able to take off that crown and say, please wear this for me, the one that is worthy. Wear this as a testimony of the grace that you had upon me. And that way, when He comes back to earth, He's found not with one crown, but the Bible says in Revelation, He's found with many. And one of those crowns hopefully will be yours that He'll wear with pride, knowing that you recognize that it was Him and give Him the glory for what He said. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, what is wrong with this world? What is wrong with them that they want to be baptized and walk the aisle and do certain things for their salvation when what's been provided for them has been provided for them through the grace of God? I wish I could preach. I do. I love this message so incredibly much. I don't want you to see me. I don't want you to see how smart I am. I'm not very smart. I want you to see Him. I want you to see what He's done. I want you to glorify Him. I want you to look and say, man, thank God for Jesus Christ. I love this in verse 8. David said it very simply. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You know what? Look at how this works for you. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Everybody wants to make it complicated, deep. This stuff's so easy, it's ridiculous. Verse 19, 2 Corinthians 5. Look at this. David understood this feeling. He said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Isn't that great?
Amen.
Oh, man, am I glad, God. You know what, guys? I have some zinger sins.
Amen.
I know you guys probably don't have them, but I guarantee you there are sins that I have in my heart that if you knew, you would not listen to me. You'd flee. I am that bad. There's lying there. Amen? That's the easy one. There's something deeper than that. That if you knew, I always think, oh, let's have a sin confession time. Let's just get up and just remember the Lord's listening to your thing. And just tell what sins you have. Anybody want to do that? You know those people, some of those church, well, I want you to pray for one of these sins in my life. And what they're telling you is not the sin that they... You know what? They wouldn't even release the sin. You know what? People, they can fool their grandmother and their great-grandmother, but when they're behind closed doors, they have filthy, rotten thoughts. Like they're getting away with it. It's amazing. Like somehow you got it covered. You know what? Guilty. And you know, David said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not sin. Boy, wouldn't that be great? Well, look what it said. Here's the key. Here's the key. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Is God imputing their trespasses unto them?
No.
But you know what? That doesn't make them saved. See, I believe in universal reconciliation. I believe God has reconciled the world on Himself, not imputing their trespasses. But I don't believe in universal salvation. Welch did. Welch believed God's grace was going to be so extensive. But see, that wouldn't give him any glory. See, He wants your free choice in the matter. He wants you to choose Him. And you saying it's all Him gives Him glory and honor. And see, that's what God wants. Every sin on the planet Earth, it doesn't matter, listen to me, it doesn't matter if you're a pedophile, it doesn't matter if you're homosexual, it doesn't matter if you are a drunkard. You know, we have to call them alcoholics now. It's a disease. You know what it is? It's a sin. I'm always amazed. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you that I believe homosexuals are born homosexuals. I believe they don't even have a choice. You're just like a liar, born a liar. You know what? You don't have to teach a baby to lie. It does it automatically. Whatever sin it is you come up with is a sin you... most of us have like a whole list of them. I don't have just one. I'm like the liar. I was born the cheater, the egomaniac. You know? Pride. I gossip a little bit. I am not killed. You were born into sin. You know what? You don't have a choice of sin. If you could have quit sinning, listen to me, if you could have stopped, if you could have just said, okay, I'm to hell with sin, I'm not doing it anymore. Boom, I'm done. Just all of a sudden, boom, I'm done. Then Christ didn't have to die on that cross. The fact that you couldn't quit. Say, well, I can get a few of them under control. Yeah, and then you take that pride and you just tick that chicken breast out like, look at me, I've got it down. How come you can't give up smoking? I always love the people that talk about people smoking. Oh, I'm glad I don't do that. I'm glad I don't smoke like them. What? What's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with me. You little fat pig. You know why you're fat? You stuff it in like a pig. Oink, oink. Oink, oink. Amen? But I don't smoke. Really? Well, how come you haven't put the fork down, you little pig? You can't let go of you can't grab a cigarette because you're in there plowing it in. You probably got the spoon and the fork going in the same time. Amen? I'm amazed at self-righteousness. I went to this church one time, and there's this lady as big as the side of the house. And there's a few things I know. A house like that needs painting every now and then. I mean, she was so ugly, she'd make a freight train take a dirt road. I'm not kidding you, man. That's how ugly this girl was. She was out there talking about them smokers. And I thought to myself, my gosh, lady, if you saw how big your belly was, you wouldn't have time to talk about their smoking. And then there's those skinny guys that don't smoke that are all muscular. And they're doing this. You know what I mean? You know, and they're flexing their muscle. And you know what they are? They're adulterers. But them smokers, they're sinners. And then there's that perfect woman that has a great body. She doesn't smoke. She doesn't overeat. But buddy, she can't stay away from the mall. She had covetousness run one. It's in every cell of her body. She goes in there, gotta have. I met this lady one time. I'm not kidding. This was a few years back. She said shopping made her happy. Really? You think? You know what? Listen, Satan is going, come in. Oh, I'm not doing anything evil. Where's that credit card? till you're so far in debt you have to bankrupt yourself. Amen? Because you wanted more than you could afford. You lived a lifestyle that wasn't yours. You see, the truth of the matter is there ain't none good. And without the imputation of righteousness and not imputing sin, you wouldn't have a hope. You're just like David. Nathan is coming to you, and you know the truth is, Nathan is me, and I'm coming to tell you, you're the man. Look in verse 19 again. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, and that's our purpose of the key, is to get people the truth so they can get saved and be safe, and safe from all alarms. Amen? Safe and secure from all alarms. You know? Leaning on the everlasting arm. I mean, I'm leaning on Christ. Listen, if what He did at that cross isn't enough, old Barry sliding and going to hell. I'm just telling you. You understand? If what He did 2,000 years ago isn't enough for me, I'm just going to hell. I mean, are you gonna? What are you going to do to stop? Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And that's what we want you to be. We want you to be reconciled. We want you to feel free, that you don't have to work for it anymore. You don't have to worry about how many baptisms did it or did not work. Hey, it's all about Him.
That's right.
You realize that He baptized you by the Spirit into the body? And that is the only baptism in this Bible, listen to me, the only one that will save you. Verse 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. See, in Romans chapter 4, you have those two statements. What was it? That He imputed unto David righteousness, and that He's not imputing His what? Sin. Guess what? You got this in 2 Corinthians 5 to the body. You know what? Here's the good news. God has not imputed your trespasses on you. How many are glad that God's not imputing your trespasses on them?
Amen.
I mean, anybody got anyone they really like to confess? I'd like to hear somebody's sin. Norm, why don't you get up here? Would you tell us your sin? I mean, the good ones. Oh, okay. Brenda, I know you've got a few. I know a few of yours.
They wouldn't want to hear them.
I think they would. Would you like to hear her sin, Max?
I'm probably worse than you are.
Okay, I want to hear William's sin, though. I mean, I bet William is naughty. Now think about this thing about Christmas stuff coming up, okay? Now, if we were going to weigh the scales of whether you got presents based upon your naughtiness or nice, I bet most of y'all wouldn't make it. I'm just guessing, but you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't like that scale thing that they put out. Oh, Debbie, I want to hear your sin. Come on up here and tell me your sin. I bet, and you know what? I bet that priest in that cubicle, When the Catholics sit down, I bet they get an earful.
Oh, yeah.
And you imagine sitting there thinking that you're getting rid of your sins? Yeah. Well, okay, I know this is bad. Father, I have sinned. What have you done, child? Well, I hired a hitman to kill my wife. Okay, say 14 Hail Marys. Well, yeah, but it goes worse than that, Father. Oh, really? Yes, I've had an affair with a 20-year-old girl. 15 Hail Marys again. Can you imagine the garbage they hear? And I'll bet you with the honest of the human spirit that they don't tell them everything. How much you want to bet they keep some of those sins back? And you know what? Even if you think you're getting rid of it, you're thinking in your mind, He doesn't need to hear that one. How much you want to bet? How much you want to bet? I bet you that's the way it is. You know what? I want to let out. You know what? There wouldn't be enough millions of dollars to get me to tell you my sins. Brother, I was going to ask for yours last. Yours would be interesting. I'm just telling you, there isn't anybody who would really, I mean, I don't think you'd be honest. I think you'd be a liar. I think you'd get up and give us some of your sins, but you wouldn't give us all of them. Brother, we don't even like you either, so that's okay. No, we do love Stan, I'm kidding. Look, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin that we might be... You know what? It's the imputation of righteousness. That one who was a blasphemer, couldn't be forgiven, can be forgiven. Why? The S factor and the G factor, guys. I mean... Even though grace is down to a dispensation, and it is, God's always been gracious. He's been gracious to Abraham. I mean, I'll tell you how sorry Abraham was. He gave his wife away saying it was his sister so he could save his own neck. Here, take my sister for your wife. He did it twice. Say, well, I would never do that. He didn't only do it once, baby. He did it twice. I can't believe these people in the Bible. They're just rotten. Thou art the man. Be easy how you judge. Be easy how... You know what the hardest thing is for Christians? It says not to judge one another anymore. You know why? Because you know what? You're not any better than they are. And if God hadn't imputed you righteousness and not impute your sin to you, you'd have been in the same boat everyone else had been in, and you couldn't have gotten out of it any way else. You don't hear this in churches anymore. I'd recommend going on Sunday. Who's been to another church on Sunday? What do you think? You hear that kind of garbage? No. You hear like one little sermon, they'll get a verse, and going back to that truth of Acts 2.38, and we'll probably deal with this a little bit next Sunday. In Acts 2.38, I could preach a whole doctrine, and if you didn't know the rest of the truth of the baptism, you might be bought into that. So how do you know it's true? You study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so you learn to divide this book properly. And you learn where you fit into the Bible. Who's your apostle?
Paul.
You know how many people know that in Montgomery?
Very few.
How many do you think?
Most of them sitting here.
I would say the majority is sitting here. Churches are filled with people that think Jesus might be their apostle, that the 12 apostles are their apostles, and they have no clue. And that one little piece of information that you have that no one else has might be the key to helping them see the truth of the Word of God. You got the key. Now, I don't know how to share it. Renee started sharing this, and they just tore her up at work. Hey, that's how they do. You know why? They don't know anything. They're going to defend it. But you just keep bringing them verse after verse after verse after verse, and you know what? Eventually, you're going to prove all things. And that's exactly what 1 Thessalonians 5 said. Prove all things. All of this stuff makes good preaching. Amen. You can preach Acts 2.38, and I can make a great sermon. It just wouldn't be true. Necessarily. I mean, you could preach the truth about Acts 2.38.
John
3.16 is another one. How many hear John 3.16 was the gospel? How many here believe John 3.16 is the gospel now? Not anybody. And you know, you start to explain it to it gets difficult, doesn't it? You know why? You don't have enough of the truth in you to let it know. Listen, you guys don't have to be brilliant. God has allowed me to be your preacher. See, Dale's sitting there saying, if Barry's got it, I can get it, brother. That's exactly the case. Say, if Barry got it, I can get Sterling's going, I got hope. If that dumb Barry got it, I mean, praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I bet I can get it after a few years. I'll never get Larry. Larry came up, I can't memorize, I don't know anything about the Bible. I don't know. I said, hey, brother, you give me a couple years, it's just taking 23. Now he'd get up there and he repeats all my sermons. He's over there going, go to Romans chapter 4, verse 6. And now William's doing it a little bit. It irritates the dickens out of me. I'm like, okay, you hot shots, get up here and preach. Don't you think it'd be great to hear Larry on New Year's Eve? I'd pay extra for that. Just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean that it's true for you. Amen? You've got to determine what is written to you. Listen, all of Romans isn't written to you. All of Corinthians isn't written to you. Is there some truth in Corinthians and Romans for you? Go like this? Yes. But it all has to be rightly divided based upon truth. So next week what I'm going to do is take baptism and we're going to rightly divide it. And then show you that the people that are preaching water baptism, why they're preaching it, and what's up. And now the point of that is very important because 90% of the people you know have been baptized. Amen? And they think it's a vital part of their Christianity.
That's right.
Okay? So now you're going to get information. So you know what I'd bring next Sunday? I'd bring a pencil and a pad and a piece of paper and I'd write it down. You know? And then I would try to preach that sermon to somebody after I studied it out. All right, I'm done.